It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life-Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of James, chapter 3, we are continuing our series on the book of James, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of James, called the New Testament Proverbs, the book of James, a very practical book. James chapter 3 speaks of a twofold message, the message of the tongue and the use of the tongue, us as individuals, and the use of the tongue by teachers, and how to discern whether these individual teachers, specifically of the Word of God, are authentic or not based on the words that come out of their mouth. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. This word masters in verse 1 is in the literal Greek, the word teachers. The old English masters, in the new vernacular, it would be called teachers, employers, individuals who are in a teaching capacity. Verse number 1 also teaches that there's a greater condemnation for those that teach and specifically teach the Word of God. This is because individuals that teach the Word of God are held to a higher standard because they have great influence over many. The words that they speak, whether it's truth or not, can factor into individuals' choices on what path they take. Individuals that teach the Word of God in truth can help to lead individuals into wise and prudent decisions in their life. Individuals that teach contrary to the Word of God can lead individuals astray. We are taught in Scripture in Romans chapter 14, verse number 13, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge of this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Individuals that are not teaching the Word of God correctly can be a stumbling block to many. Therefore, it's a greater condemnation, a greater responsibility, a greater accountability for those who teach the Word of God. Also, why there's a greater responsibility is because individuals that teach the Word of God are to model the Word of God. The emphasis and the authentication behind the teaching is the lifestyle the individual lives. That puts the teaching in context for individuals to see the life that they're teaching in the life of that particular teacher. A picture is worth a thousand words, and individuals are to model what they teach. We are called in Scripture to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As a result, teachers who instruct others are held to a greater standard, a greater condemnation, or a greater judgment is upon them because of their responsibility that they have and the influence they have over others. Jesus Christ taught this principle in Luke chapter 12, verses 46 through 48, Jesus taught that on the day of judgment, that some will be judged with many stripes, and some will be judged with few stripes. This speaks of God's divine justice, God's divine wisdom in his judgment individually for each person. The degree of judgment, God's divine justice, is measured out individually, and here in James chapter 3, individuals are held to a greater condemnation for those that teach the word of God. Also in verse number 1, this is in the context of a warning from James, because many individuals in that day and in this day desire to be teachers. There were many that did not feel comfortable just learning and growing in themselves, but desired to be a fixture, a spotlight in the local assembly, and desired to be teachers. Warning is given in Scripture for individuals who have this particular disposition. The Corinthian church wanted to teach and wanted to sing and wanted to interpret and speak in tongues and prophesy all in one. And chapter 14, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians, Paul gives a warning to them as it reads, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." Even further, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul warning Timothy that there were teachers out there that were teaching yet not understanding where their source of information was to be confirmed. Chapter 1, 1 Timothy, verse 7 says, "Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor well they affirm." Even further in Romans chapter 12, Paul gives an example to the Roman church that they should wait on their ministering, or he that teaches to wait on their teaching. To not be in a hurry to begin to go to the forefront in teaching, but to wait on the calling of the Lord to manifest. Verse number 2. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body." Here in verse number 2, the context is teaching that individuals fall into offenses, fall into sin, yet individuals that can bridle their tongue, that can keep their tongue, keep their words, and be circumspect with their speech, can literally control the whole body. The tongue is the communication device of our body. We have thoughts in our heart that turn into feelings and behaviors, and we act out on that. Scripture teaches, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And the catalyst behind this particular thought moving into action and feeling is the workings of the tongue one to another. The interaction between relationships is communication driven, and verse 2 is teaching that if we keep our tongue, we can keep our actions and behaviors circumspect as a result. Scripture teaches in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Further in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Yes, the tongue can begin to dictate behavior, as it is the communication device one with another. David in Psalm 141 knew this and had a prayer that is a prayer for today that we should use. Psalm 141 verse 3 states, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." We have to be very circumspect in what we say to our children, what we say to our wives, our husbands, our friends, and others. We ought to be sure that our tone is appropriate, that our words are thoughtful and not hasty and not spoken inappropriately. Back to James, verses 3 through 6. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that is the members of our body, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Verses 3 through 6 is giving a picture, is giving an analogy on how the small bit in a horse's mouth can control the entire horse, or a small rudder in a great ship can control the ship. And in the same context, the tongue, being a small member of our body, can still control the entire body. It can stir up a hornet's nest, or it can encourage. It can build up, or it can tear down. It can be a part of the healing process, or it can bring tears of heartache to others. This particular scripture in verse number 6 is also teaching that the tongue can catapult anger into wrath, and the tongue can cause misery like the misery of hell. The words that we speak will bring forth the effect, whether positive or negative, whether good or bad. As scripture teaches, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Scripture teaches in Proverbs chapter 18, the words of a terror are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Individuals that backbite and backstab, individuals that gossip, individuals that tear down, individuals that use words as swords, piercing and wounding others, can bring hurt, harm, and lifelong damage. Proverbs chapter 16 teaches a whisper separateth chief friends. Individuals that speak in secret, that speak behind the backs of others, can separate the best of friends, can begin to divide and tear down marriages, churches, businesses, all because of the inappropriate words that come out of somebody's mouth. We speak in haste so often. We ought to take a step back, be led by the Spirit, and be very thoughtful with our words before we begin to speak. Verse number 7. "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." mankind has been given dominion over the beasts of the earth, all creatures, large and small, based on Genesis chapter 1. And mankind can tame and domesticate all creatures. Yet mankind is unable to tame and control the tongue. This tongue for millennial, for thousands of years, has been attempted to be tamed by mankind. And despite mankind's persuasion, despite his intelligence, despite his cunning, his devices, and his intellect, he is unable to control the tongue. This kind of reality about the inability to tame the tongue should lead individuals to fall on their knees and cry out to God for the ability to tame the tongue through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 9 through 12. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God, or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Here in verses 9 through 12, it is showing that the untamed tongue, the tongue that is unruly, the tongue that is not tamed through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, will speak both cursings and blessings. It will speak both positive and negative. It will bless God and curse man. It will appear that it is unstable and unruly because man in his limitations is trying to speak the right thing, yet with an unconverted heart, he will speak both good and bad. This double use of the tongue is evident of an unconverted heart. The scriptures in Matthew 7 spoken by Jesus bears witness of this same principle that a double lifestyle is evident of individuals that are unconverted. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So here in Matthew 7, Jesus is teaching that a double life is evident of someone who is not converted, someone who is producing both good fruit and producing evil fruit. Same in James chapter 3, the tongue that speaks both blessings at times and cursings at times is evident of a heart that is unconverted, is evident of a tongue that is still unruly. Verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show forth out of a good conversation or a good lifestyle his works with meekness and wisdom. Here in verse 13, there is a double teaching according to this particular context. Not only is James teaching that if you listen to teachers that is endowed with good works and wisdom from on high, his teaching is authenticated. but also this is teaching that Christians can control the tongue. This is based on the evidence that what they're speaking is backed up by their lifestyle of good works in the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with meekness and wisdom. In order to tame the tongue, in order for the tongue to be controlled, the heart must be converted. Jesus Christ taught that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a result, individuals that desire to tame the tongue must have a heart that's been regenerated, a heart that's been converted. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 teaches, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When an individual is converted in the Lord Jesus Christ, as evident that they trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior, that He died for their sins and rose from the dead, they are converted, born again, and the precious Holy Spirit comes on the inside, and they now begin to be led by the precious Holy Spirit. They are cleansed from the inside out. Their heart is converted, and as a result, they have a brand new speech. They begin to speak words that are edifying, encouraging, that glorify God and uplift the name of Jesus Christ. And as teachers of the Word of God, they begin to teach in the context of Scripture, not their words, but God's words, "What thus saith the Lord." And as a result, God is glorified and Jesus Christ is magnified. This is also evidenced as a change in a quality of life for the individual that has been converted. Psalm 34, which is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3, says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So a life that's been converted, that's been changed in the Lord Jesus Christ, will now begin to walk down a path that produces fruit, that has good works, that glorifies God. Verses 14 through 16. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Verses 14 through 16 is teaching that human wisdom, no matter how intelligent it may be, no matter how intelligent the teacher may be, will be wisdom from this earth that produces fruit that's destructive in our relationships, as evidenced by the tongue, by the words that are spoken out of their mouth. Verses 14 through 16 is also backed up by Jesus Christ in Matthew 16, verse 23, where He equates the wisdom of this world with not only the wisdom of men, but the wisdom that comes from the devil. It's sensual, it's carnal. And as a result of this human wisdom, there's jealousies, there's strife, there's contentions, there's confusion, and every evil work. Verses 17 through 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Here in verse 17 through 18, there's a contrast in divine wisdom that's led by the Holy Spirit in contrast to human wisdom in verses 14 through 16. The human wisdom in verses 14 through 16 come from an unconverted heart and spoken by an unruly tongue, with human wisdom as contrast with a converted heart speaking good things from the tongue, divine wisdom from on high. And this particular divine wisdom found in verses 17 through 18 is itemized as follows. It's first pure in verse 17, chaste, clean, holy. Scripture teaches, he leadeth me down the path of righteousness. Then it says it's peaceable. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then it says gentle. This is speaking not in terms of weakness, but in terms of kindness. Divine modesty, meekness, not having to prove anything to anybody. Then it says easy to be entreated. This means not obstinate, stubborn, but yielding the right of way to others. Then it says full of mercy. This is speaking of a forgiving spirit, quick to forgive, knowing that God has forgiven us of a multitude of sins, quick to perform acts of kindness. Then it says, full of good fruits. This is speaking of the fruit of the Spirit being led by the Spirit, which produces not only the fruit of the Spirit, but this divine wisdom from on high. The fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. Then it says, without partiality. This is without prejudice, not judging or preferring others based on their creed or culture, race, or ethnic heritage, not preferring or judging others based on their social economic status, but seeing individuals as God sees them from the heart. And finally, it says, without hypocrisy. This means being genuine and open, honest. This means walking in integrity, which is unsupervised character, which means doing what's right no matter if anybody's watching or not. Verse 18 closes that individuals with this divine wisdom that sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. James chapter 3, speaking of a greater judgment for those that teach, specifically teaching the Word of God. And James chapter 3 also teaching that individuals that teach the Word of God should be looked upon sternly and strongly at what comes up out of their mouth. And James, in terms of human wisdom versus the godly wisdom. And James chapter 3, teaching on the deadliness of a unregenerated tongue that divides, that destroys, that breaks hearts, in contrast to a tongue that is regenerated by being born again, that glorifies God, magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ, and is a tongue of healing and a tongue of life. This is James chapter 3. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from Him, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me this prayer. O God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.